Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and I'm welcoming to Garden of Enlightenment with Lou Wildev. I'm so excited today. We have some awesome poetry along with fabulous, enchanting sound clouds. I am so excited. We're going to have a great show of poetry today and open poetry and front page picks. And I want to welcome everybody to the show, whether you're in the group, which I see that Miriam and Zach and Dan, DW from London, is in the group. So I'm excited about that. And we're going to get started. I'm just a little bit about ourselves. This is the Late Night Poets Group. You can find us on allpoetry.com. It's free to join. That's allpoetry.com. And our group is called Late Night Poets, where we have shows, radio shows every evening and after midnight. And just to tell you about ourselves, all these poems were given to us, and they were donated to put in poetry books that you can find on Amazon.com. And they're just like the name of our group, Late Night Poets. And it's our anthologies. I want to thank everybody from around the world that donated their beautiful poetry to help support these radio shows. So we have been a busy night, so I'm going to go ahead and start picking up our callers. And who is this from Scotland?
Oh, it's your wee lassie. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hi, Katie. How are you, Weaver of Dreams?
I am wonderful, thank you. I'm so pleased to be here.
And I'm excited. We're going to have a great night of poetry. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. And let's pick up our next caller. And Katie is also my co-host. And caller 778, who is this?
Oh, hello,
Hi, Gray. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Welcome to the show. He's also one of our other co-hosts. Thank you, Gray Eyes. And he also has his
better.
Shows on Saturday. And caller 707, who am I speaking with?
Irish Rose.
Hi, Irish Rose. It's so good to hear your voice. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you. Good to talk to you.
Good, great day. I can't wait to hear your. I've been waiting and waiting to hear your collaboration with Colab. She's also one of my favorite poets. You guys are. Welcome,
oh,
welcome to the
so
show.
Much. Thank you.
And let's go ahead and pick up our next caller, 512. Who are we speaking with?
Hello, this is Laurie Montaner. It's me.
Hello, Francisco. How are you tonight?
Hello, 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 everyone.
Welcome, welcome to the show. He's also one of my co-hosts. And I was going to say something, but it slipped out of my mind, but that's okay. This is Valentine's week. Please join us on Wednesday for Valentine's. And I wanted to start off the week with something sweet since I'm not on Valentine's, but I'm in Valentine's week. Okay. So here we go. Happy Valentine's to everybody. And let me go ahead. And Gwen, we are ready to start.
Well, I must be Gwen.
Yeah.
Oh, Katie. Katie, well, you know what? You got to excuse me. I am super tired. Okay, here we go.
Honestly, that never bothers me. I have a problem with names myself, so it's fine. Right, so this is home.
I didn't say Larry Moe and what's Curly?
I don't know.
The Three Stooges? I'm joking.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, well,
you are my curly girl.
At least you didn't call me Larry. Are you good? Could have been so much worse. I'd have to be, hello, how are you? And not my voice.
Yeah, that would be something there.
Wouldn't it just, oh, hi, how you doing? Up in the Highlands is Bonnie. And no, I won't do that anymore, I promise. Okay. right, this is home. Now, Louie, shall we get you while you're feeling comparatively light and awake and not sore in your throat. This is a short one.
And I love you for giving me a brevity. Thank you.
My
pleasure. And here we go. This is titled Home by Shelley A.B. light reflecting, shimmering rainbows, catching hopeful hearts with hands open wide, needed love, safety, home, safety, love needed, wide open hands with hearts hopeful catching, rainbow shimmering, reflecting light. What a beautiful poem. And let's get Shelley some comments. Katie, what did you think of this brevity?
Wow, amazing. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Really clever. So this is, as you can see what it is, and it's written so well, a palindrome cannot be easy to do, and this is just wonderful. It wasn't until I got to sort of the first line of the first round part that I thought, oh, hang on, mm-hmm. I've seen that before. Oh, there we are up there.
Palindrome. Mm-hmm.
Very clever. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Shelley, because I think I'd like to try, I say try, to do that because it looks so interesting. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. And Greg, what did you think of Shelley's poem?
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, you know, you can feel the hominess in the right, you know, it should be catching hopeful hearts with hands wide, with hands open wide. You know, the love that you need is at home, safety is at home, usually. And, yeah, I thought it was beautifully written. I love the palindrome of it, too.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And if you're having trouble getting in, please try calling. I don't know, sometimes that happens. You know, please try to call in, Miriam. Okay, thank you, Gray. That was a wonderful comment. And I'd like to know what you thought of this palindrome, Gwen.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. And I also, I like the, you know, the homey sentiments that are relative to all of us that she used in it. And I also like the shape of the form. I thought that was kind of a nice touch.
Beautiful hourglass shape. Thank you so much. Okay, we're ready for our next poem.
Okay.
Oh, do you not want me to say something?
Oh, thanks. Well, I was going to do three comments
all
per
right.
poem.
No.
Francisco,
okay.
I'm
all
sorry,
right.
but if
no,
you would
okay.
like to sneak a comment in, I would. You can go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be brief. I understand that. I think the poem overall, you know, the palindrome, it's a delicate type of writing. But I do appreciate the, you know, the reflection here, the message of the poem itself. And for that, in that regard, I appreciated the poem even more.
Agreed. Okay. We are ready for our next poem.
And our next poem is Rage of the Machine by Chinesky. And Frank, we're going to put you to work right away.
Oh, there's a recording
good.
For that?
Oh,
oh
God
good.
Blimey.
Sorry.
That was the last thing you said to me. There's a lot of sound clouds, and I completely forgot. Okay, a sound
well,
cloud for
go.
This one.
There you go there, Katie.
Yes, here we go again. One more jump.
And Ray, are you going
yes.
to post them or do I need to do it?
You.
No, I
didn't. Doesn't he have a song cloud? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
I can play it.
I didn't hear you. I thought you said Frank. I'm sorry.
Lizards change color, offering everything behind a painted mask. Circus parades with clowns handing us a long string with a bouncing, buoyant world, our raging machine. Camera clicking shutters of digital braille, diseased specimens, hungry actors reciting promises behind ballot curtains. Creatures we've invented groaning beside us, sweat oozed from its shiny skin with scales like the serpent. Inside here, everything is perfect because it's empty. Because it's perfect with emptiness. Crippled world we leave, washing hands in red, white, blue towels. We the people, mud puddles drowning air thick with smoke, nursing burning scars.
I want to thank this, you know, congratulations to Tanofsky on and Shelley on their front page picks. I was looking at his author's notes, and he does a lot to fight global warming. Politics, age of information are a big contribution to our issues today, starting with promises, misinformation, then handling us a world in danger of extinction. You know, the world is getting hotter. We can see, especially here on the coastline in Louisiana, the land is being covered with water from the melting of the glaciers in, you know, Alaska and Greenland. And yet, you know, the tornadoes are getting huge. The hurricanes are getting more powerful. Yet these people make promises. And then we find out after they get in office that these promises that they made are not what their really intentions were. And I thought that he caught that in the first stanza, lizards change color, offering everything behind a mask. And then he also talks about in his stanza before the end, inside here, it's perfect because it's empty, because it's perfect with emptiness. You know, that is what we're being left with. Yet, you know, these people with money, they live in their castles while the rest of us are suffering. And I thought this was fabulously written. I really enjoyed it a lot. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Yes, I mean, this is powerful. I'm sorry, could I just say something? There's somebody banging about in the background. It's
yeah,
just happening
if you're in your kitchen, washing dishes, we can hear it.
And I can't think.
That's not me there.
No.
Gray?
Well, thank you. It's finished. That's okay. As long as it doesn't, I don't care who okay. It was, as long as it stopped. Mm-hmm. It does.
I'm muted, so it's not me.
Oh, I didn't think it was you. You had the problem last night, didn't you? You know what it was like because we were inundated with that sound last night. So anyway, we got quiet now, so I'm very happy. Thank you. Don't mean to be a moany old lady, but gets on my throatneys. Okay. This was beautifully written, and I loved the whole rage against the machine idea. Fabulous. And, you know, it is a case of there is always something that can do our job faster and better than we can, being invented all the time. So, you know, we could become extinct. We could become like the dinosaurs and just whittle away to nothing. I hope not, though, because I don't really fancy fighting big machines. Never. Nope, not at my age. Beautifully done. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
Agreed. And thank you for a wonderful comment. And I would love to know what you thought about this poem, Gray Eyes.
Yeah, I like it. You know, it's a pretty poignant statement on this modern American world that we live in. I mean, you know, America is kind of taking over the world with its politics and its, you know, race to conquer the world with its craziness. So, yeah, I thought it was a powerful statement. So great read as well.
Agreed. And that was a really nice recording he did. Thank you, Gray. And we're ready for our next poem.
Diddly-diddly-diddly. You know, I do that when I haven't got it up. There we are.
That's okay.
We have Mid-Sized American City in Winter by Sky Joe. Now, Frank, did you say you were having a bit of trouble, or would you be able to read this?
Yeah. No, yes, it's a bit slow, but I can read it. It's I've got the poem already. It's called Sky Joe. The poem is called Mid-Sized American City in Winter, and it goes like this. Winter sunsets are stately affairs, not given to extravagance. Muted yellow trampled dandelions passed across the sky, still grey. Smeared of greasy clouds, the bare side of old engine. Sturdy daylight abdicates to stock shuttles, pitch infinity swallow alleys, heavy gloom gathered and drifts aside the riverbank, heralding the night to come. Screaming gales, glacial razor sharp bite deep, wood figures clutter the coach, poor tot with numbered fingers, faces obscure, treacherous glimpses of pale flesh, the sole proof of life. Biddy Fall, Fated Kashmir. Flash blasters a quicker pace, frantic uneven steps carry their way. Streets blare dry of the emptied and forlorn. The sun is vanished, light from windows. Street lamps hemmed by creeping black. The city is cold and dark in winter. In the poem. Hello?
What? Yeah, you, can you hear me? What if,
yes.
Yes.
Hello? Fabulous,
yes.
Reed, Frank, and this was just
I appreciate that. I thought I lost you. I thought I was lost for the
And this
well,
is a fantastic poem. Yeah, I'm doing the trying to get off mute, but sometimes the mute, I'm faster than the mute. I keep thinking,
That's
you know
okay.
how that goes, everybody. So, yeah, this was just an excellent poem by Sky Joe, and you did such a fabulous read. And Gwen, I would love to know what you thought of his poem.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. The emotion that was in it, and that's the way the weather is now. We have weather that is so full of, because it's so bizarre, emotion that I like the way he captured that in this. And I like the way Frank read it too, because it brought the tautness of the situation together, and I really enjoyed it. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed this, you know, nice reflection of how dark and uncertain everything is now.
Yes, yeah, mid-sized American city. Yeah, he really captivated me with his imagery in his first stanza.
Right.
Winter sunsets are stately affairs not given to extravagance. Muted yellow trampled dandelions pasted across a sky steel gray, smeared with greasy clouds, the bare size of an old engine. I remember when we were traveling, we were going to Washington, D.C., and we got into, like, Baltimore, and I didn't know, you know, anything about greasy skies. And then I just woke up with my sinuses hurting because I would sleep by the window with the window open. And I woke up with this headache and sinus problem, and I looked up, and it wasn't clouds, you know, like the open sky where you see the gray, billowy-shaped clouds. It was just smoke. And I just like, you know, I just like, it just, you know, it made me sick, you know, and I just was thinking about all the health issues that these people have that live in these type of cities where this stuff goes on. And I just, you know, it just was just fabulous. You really caught me there. And I agree with you, Gwen. And Frank, you read this poem, and I would like to know what you thought about it.
Yes, I thought the poem, you know, although it was very dark in its metaphors and that, it really brought the contrast of what winter can be, the gloom, you know, that set in there. But
mm-hmm.
I think what overall the poem was magnificent was just in the narrative itself. I love the ending there of the streets bled dry off the emptied and forlorn. Toward the ending there, and the reference there to the sun. It just reminds me of, you know, if anyone's ever been up, you know, the Scandinavian countries, they, you know, during winter, they are basically without much light, you know, without much sunlight. So it took me to that regard there, but I thought overall the poem was fantastic.
I agree. Thank you. Excellent comment. And we have a new caller, caller 763, who am I speaking with?
This is Dexter.
Hey, Dex.
Hey.
How you doing, Dexter?
I'm doing good. I'm
so happy to hear your voice.
Yeah
I missed
tired.
You the other week.
I'm
when...
a little tired. I'm going to stay for a little bit.
Okay. That would be fantastic, and I'm so excited you called. I missed you the last time I had my show because I was sick, and I know you're busy with, you know, those students, and I can just, you know, just imagine. You need all your strength. Dealing with kids.
Yep. Well, I'm glad I could be
well,
here.
Well, welcome, welcome. I'm happy to have you.
Welcome aboard.
And we are ready to start, and I'm sure we'll keep you busy too. We're ready for you again, Katie. Miss Katie.
Okay, all done. We have The Fisherman's Spring by Ursula McCabe. And Gwen, could you read this for us, please?
Sure, thank you. The Fisherman's Spring, begin poem. Once I had a fisherman boyfriend, and we talked waterways near here, the Clipcat, salmon, and other small rivers that invite you to foresit. They're not in a rush to get around the next bend. They meander. He tramp around and get out the gear, cast his line into the drifting ripples. I would search my pockets for a small sketch pad. I'd move the pencil for gesture, and it was good drawing practice because most of the time my eyes would settle on him. Dang, that man was easy to look at. In poem.
Ah, it is such a fabulous read of Ursula's poem, and congratulations, Ursula, on your front page pick. And let's get her some comments. Dexter, I would like to know what you thought of Ursula's poem.
Yeah, this is a great write and a great, you know, piece about the fisherman's attribute of patience, right? They're not in a rush. And so she really appreciated the patience, and that almost like built on the passion that she were like, it almost built on and into a, you know, a little bit of a heat between her and him. Just the fact that he could sit there and not really go over the top, right? He definitely had a patience about him on the way that he was taking it, and that was something that was a turn on to her. So very well done and a great piece.
Well, you know, if you got a man who's good looking and he's meandering, how can you not help but look? You know, forget the scenery, just look at the man.
That's a good point, man.
I would love to know what you thought, Katie.
Oh yes, I enjoyed it. It's like another one of those wonderful things that you see at the end of a piece of poetry, as you quoted, dang, that man was easy to look at. I like that a lot. Really good. And I like the fact that she had a fisherman boyfriend, because that is a whole lot of different things going on. You're not just going to a little restaurant for a meal and a walk in the countryside or whatever. You're sitting on a boat sometimes. So much fun. This is very well written. And I was actually there. I was actually sitting on that boat. And I thought it was very well done, very well put together as well. Easy to read, which is always fabulous. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you. Wonderful comment. And Gray, I'd like to know what you thought of Ursula's poem.
Well, as a fisherman, I can appreciate a woman who doesn't mind hanging out with you at the riverbank and, you know, let you do your thing while she does hers. You know, to me, that's a special place in my heart. You know, as a river fisherman, I can appreciate this very much. So great read. Wow. An excellent write, Ursula.
You good at catching fish, Gray?
I am, yeah. Yeah.
Just checking.
I got the right tackle and the right bait, so I know how to hook them.
And what does the woman do there, Gray?
Yes.
She, like, you know, kicks back and watches me fish, cheers me on.
She wouldn't be handling the worms then.
No, not usually. Not usually.
I'm chasing
her around. Unless I'm dangling one and trying to
I was going to say I used to fly fish and I used to love it, although I did catch a lot of bushes and quite big lumps of grass, and I did get a fish once, so not bad.
Well,
you know, when I was a kid, I used to go to Wasaga Beach and fish on the river there, but you know, I was casting a red devil lure, and I couldn't figure out why it was stuck behind me. I thought I'd caught the grass, and I'm tugging at it. And then I see everybody up on the balcony yelling at me, and I realized that I had hooked the back of my head with this treble hook.
Oh, I thought,
so
I would have liked
to
what you said.
It
was snagged on the seat of your pants.
Well, along with the lagoon there.
No.
No.
I did have to go to the hospital and get it cut out, though, so.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to make fun of you. No, first time I had to put a worm on a hook, that just creeped me out because I could see the worm going, stabbing me. So, you know, you have to hook them up in there good. And I just, like, I never did that again. I went and got bait, but I would not touch a worm again. I like worms.
Yeah.
They're good for my garden and butterflies and, okay, so, yeah. Oh, great.
Well, gummy worms are good.
I don't know if they'll eat those. Oh, she's already got it up. You're quick. Woo!
It's
okay.
Actually a really good
Katie,
date.
Go ahead and announce our
gummy
next
worms.
One and reader.
Okay. Happy to. Right. The next one is A River Watch It Too by Self-Rising
Mojo.
Yeah, I've got it.
Isn't that a cool name?
Mojo. Fabulous. Fabulous handle. And so, Gray, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure. You betcha. Okay, so we have River Walks Through It by Self-Rising Mojo. Gravel pops beneath grabs of boot, impressions made on dirt. Gate is either work it out or take it in. A heron perched on a branch is a kickstand of wind. As far as you can tell, clouds begin underwater, then splash against stone to take place in the sky. The road is 4 miles with an easy grip handle, plenty of rope for a round trip. Two poles, put your own spin on the world and home.
What a gorgeous poem and what a beautiful read, Gray. Thank you for reading his poem. I saw not only did he get a front page pick, but he also got a gold medal in the William Stafford poem prompt. So let's get him some comments. And I'd like to know what you thought about the poem, Gwen.
Well, I really liked it. I liked the way it's centered in nature. And I've just kind of had experiences like that before where you can just, you know, you take in a place and you seem to remember all the small details, like the water splashing against stone, and the road is 4 miles long, and there's just all these little details that he adds into this, but you get this sense of relaxation. I really enjoyed it. I thought that was really presented well.
Beautiful comment, Gwen. Thank you so much. And how about you, Frank?
Yes, really, this poem here reminds me of a Victorian type of poem. It just has that feel, that sensation there. And I thought overall it was just a wonderful illustration of what a river represents in the surrounding nature, Mother Nature as well. And in that regard, I really appreciated that. Overall, great poem.
Thank you. Excellent comment. And Dex, I would love to know what you thought of Self-Rising Mojo's poem.
Yeah, I think that A River Walks Through It is a perfect kind of contrast for it, but I believe that this is for a bike ride. A kickstand in the wind, as far as you can tell. The road is 4 miles with easy grip handle, plenty of rope, road trip. Two pulls puts a new spin on the world. I don't know. I get the feeling that this is a person that's on a bike ride, but just the river walking through it is a metaphor for the outer terrarium. So very well done.
Thank you so much, Dexter. That was an excellent comment. And Gray, you did a great read, and we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
All right. Our next poem is Farewell by Mam Yaw, and there's a SoundCloud for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one second here.
Thank you.
You bet. No, maybe just got to find it there. Here we go.
Farewell. Nagbuksa ang nang matawi ang limitin. humuhos kanyang mukha at saka nagdalamhap. Mga alaala mo'y tinangay, langhang amihan. May pili na pinabalitan, sa gitna ng iyong panggitan. Ano mang kapit ang dalin, di na may kakaila. Ang iyong pagyaon ay talagang nakadadhana. Kaya't nadalo ng hindi ang lahat ng mga mata na mga taong ika'y ingay. Paanan ang paalam niya. The sky mourned the day your smile was hidden. Her tears rained down, then she breathed. Your memories were stolen by the north wind. Even as we try to remember in the midst of your departure. No matter how we try to hold on to you, our time has come to fly on ahead of us. Now rivers will flow from the men upon the earth of all who loved you. So farewell, oh farewell, dear mother.
I want to thank Mamia for that beautiful poem that she wrote in tribute to her grandmother, she says in her author's note. I wrote this for my recently departed paternal grandmother. She was 91 when she drew her last breath. I was never really close to her, but her loss is still felt. And she said that she originally wrote this in her native tongue, which is Filipino. And I thought that she did this so beautifully, especially where I read this beautiful tribute. The sky mourned the day your smile was taken. Her tears rained down, then she grieved. Oh, my goodness. This just really touched my heart deeply, Mamia. This is just gorgeous. And thank you again for resending another recording. My goodness. What did you think about Mamia's poem, Miss Katie?
Oh, yes. It's a lovely, lovely tribute and beautifully written. And her voice telling that story in her own native language was wonderful. Really enjoyed it. And beautiful accent when she was reading it in English, which is very cool. But, yeah, it's never easy. I like the fact that she doesn't mind admitting that she wasn't terribly close to her, which can happen in a family, don't we know? But I thought it was a lovely tribute as well. You know, it was nice to, and I hope she was able to read it out to everybody, and so everybody heard it. So very well done, and thank you so much for sharing that.
Beautiful, Connie King and Gray Eyes. What did you think of Mamia's tribute to her grandmother?
I thought it was very sweet, you know. You can feel the love that she held for her and the pain that she felt as she departed. I really enjoyed her reading in her native language as well. She's a beautiful soul, Mamia is, so thank you for sharing, Mamia. Excellent job.
Thank you, Gray. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Kenny.
Right, our next poem is Flowing Rhythms by Irish Rose. And Gwen, could I ask you to read this for us, please?
Sure, thank you. Flowing Rhythms. Begin poem. It is written in the first line, Flowing Rhythms, words that dance and chase, walk, spot, and images, read from prism. It is in frozen breath that lingers, and clouds that flutter suspended within the heart's block of feelings. As emotions conjure words, breathe tentatively and fill with fire in the throbbing spirit of a dead poet's history. It is whispered in the lover's subtle voice and the unsaids of its pauses and silence. It is whispered through redwood trees, standing stately, starkly, and defiant, and in the traveling familiar spirits woven in the words, flowing life. It is chirped, a hoarse chirp, the sound of the woods that stir, wood being hammered, by a raucous woodpecker in quiet roaring woods of an impatient violet dawn. End poem.
Oh, what a gorgeous poem. Irish Rose, and I saw that you collaborated this with Colab. You guys are two of my favorite poets. This was absolutely beautiful, and so was
Thank
it.
You.
Let's get you some comments. Frank.
Yes, I saw that you, it was a collab with Colab, and I could see some of that influence there, but I thought overall the poem was fantastic. The way you describe nature in itself, describe, you know, the aspects of nature, in particular there with that, I would say, in a frozen breath, you say you linger and clouds that flutter suspend. There's so much imagery throughout the poem that's just very striking, I would say. And overall, the piece was excellent. It was a fantastic collab between the both of you.
Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And what did you think about the poem, Miss Katie?
Well, you've got me when you bring nature into anything. I just thought it was absolutely lovely. I liked the way you had the sound of the woods, the stir of wood being hammered by a raucous woodpecker in quiet roaring moments of an impatient, silent dawn. Beautifully done. I always go to the last stanza. I'm so sorry. It's a habit I've got. I just love those last stanzas. But your first stanza was wonderful too. So yes, very well. Very well done. And
Thank
I thought
you.
The collab, as everybody says, the collaboration was seamless, which is not easy
yes,
to do when two people with differing ideas try to come together and write something that is going to be seen or heard by everybody. So you want it to be just right, and this was that. This was just right. So thank you very
thank
much
you.
For sharing.
Thank
My
you.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Miss Katie. And Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought that this was fantastic. I thought, you know, this is the essence of what a poem is. You know, those first few lines that you write out sometimes are magical, and all of a sudden it can burst into a different thought, right? It's freed from prison. And then in the next ones that you go to, they attach almost to the heart, right? They attach to an emotional state. And then the third stanza, I feel like, is like when you present them, when you read them, right? What is the voice? And then the afterwards is the silence you get after when it's done read. I thought that this was the essence of a poem, and I thought that this was an amazing write.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie. Katie, did I lose you?
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. I was on. Oh,
don't
done.
Scare me. I got
stopped. So sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. No, I'm back. I was so busy
okay.
looking at the next poem. I forgot about unmuting. I was trying to be good about the muting bit. Okay.
It's not so easy.
Not, it's certainly
Ooh,
not.
By all means.
Here we are, got it. This won't frighten me. I can do this. I'll beat it into submission. Right, we have Ghost by Kay.
Ooh.
That sounds good. I will read this one. Won't be a moment. There we are, Ghost. And the caption here, the prompt, you cannot sell dreams to those who have walked through nightmares. I'm sorry, my voice is going. Give me a moment. I'm so sorry, my dears. That was orange juice, I swear. Okay. So this is Ghost by K-O-S. Chaos. Oh, very good, Chaos. Well done, that lady. So I need your darkness, the blood as it drips, your deepest insanities at the edge of fingertips. The stuff you hide deep in the dark, where you confined to souls so stark. Roses, they bloom, they're not enough. Flowers are lovely. I want what cuts. Pour your soul into my veins. Mix our blood till it coagulates. When the moon's bare, when you can't sleep, tell me every dark secret you keep. What's buried beneath under that facade? Drop the ego in the dark. I need to know who you are. I've battled piranhas. They've ripped at my flesh. I've battled the black sea of regrets. Don't try to sell me horizons, dreams, when nightmares are where my soul breathes. If you want to know me beneath my skin, where my arteries stab and sting, sell me your nightmares. I'll hold you close. Sell me your nightmares, or watch me ghost. End poem.
You know, that was a fabulous read, and, you know, I just love chaos. Her rhyme and rhythm is always wonderful, but what I like is the power of her emotions. I liked where she wrote, pour your soul into my veins, mix her blood till it coagulates, where the moon there, where you can't sleep, tell me every dark secret you keep. Oh, my goodness. When it's buried beneath, under the facade, drop the ego in the dark. I need to know who you are. You know, and this is just, you know, somebody that is not afraid of somebody else's darkness, and they're able to accept it only if they admit their darkness and not hide it from them. You know, and it's not the darkness that scares her. That scares her. What scares her is not knowing who you really are. That facade that you keep up. This is just fabulous. I love this poem by Chaos. And that was an excellent read, Miss Katie. Gray, what did you think of Chaos's poem?
Well, you did a great job of reading it. But, you know, I like the truth in it. You know, show me your bad side. Show me the darkness in you, you know, so I can find the light and build a relationship with you, you know. And so be real, be truthful, and, you know, don't put this false facade on and hide what really is being beneath, you know, the face that you put on. So I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you, Gray. Excellent comment. And Gwen, what did you think of Chaos's poem?
Yeah, I think Cass is quite a dynamic writer. And so, you know, she attacks her subject matter.
Now she's powerful.
She is, and she does go after it. And this is like all of her other past, you know, things that she's done, and it has her mark on it for sure. And nothing too subtle about it. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, and, you know, and she does. She, and she'll tell you like it is. I'm reading her comments. I don't buy bullshit. I need the realness. Think you misunderstood the poem? I want to know people underneath that facade. It's like, oh, God, I can't talk today. And she, not only did she get a front page pick, but she got a silver medal. So congratulations, Chaos. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
All right. Here we are then. We have To the Water by Obinix. And Dexter, could you give this a read for us, please?
Absolutely. This is Obinix, To the Water. Aqua, you send joy to my heart to flow like an inspiring art. In the moment of fresh sunlight, given succor so sweet and bright, of what manner does that joy bring, flowing so that my heart did sing of the wind that came with splendor wondrous in it add color. Aqua, my heart is made calm as a dove by your peace that comforts with love. How its places my heart is so good that it does, it is bright in mood, that it does with a bright mood. Yet my heart truly shines with beams, dressed with pleasures more than sweet dreams. Your spirit made it feel higher with life of so much deep desire. Aqua, with vigor your heart, your joy heals my heart so nicely that it feels so great that my heart now smiles deep with warm ways of the sun to keep. End poem.
Oh, you read that beautifully.
The imagery is just gorgeous by Ovenette. So we're going to start our comments again. Miss Katie, what did you think of Ovenette's poem?
Oh, yes, it was lovely. You can almost hear that beautiful sound of water. It just, it's a lovely feeling. I like being by the sea, but equally, I like being in my canoe going up and down the canals or in Scotland. That's great fun as well. So, yeah, I have, like, anything to do with nature. Sorry, anything to do with nature, it's got to be beautiful and calm you down. But that line, aqua, my heart is made calm as a dove, that's just beautiful, isn't it? You look at a dove and you do think peaceful and you do think quiet and joyful. So I thought he shared his thoughts on water beautifully. So thank you for sharing.
Great, thank you. Beautiful comment. And what did you think about the poem, Gray?
I really liked it. You know, aqua is my favorite color, so I really enjoyed that part of it. You know, I find it very peaceful and soothing to look at. And, I really enjoyed this poem. You did a great read of it, Dexter. Thank you for sharing, Albinax.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gray. And Gwen, I would like to know what you thought of Ovenette's poem. Gwen? Let me see if she didn't drop.
She dropped.
Yeah, she dropped. Okay. Frank, what did you think?
Well, you know that I appreciate water. In particular, agua, which we know in Spanish. I thought this poem overall was just a wonderful, wonderful illustration of what water can represent and just how much, you know, how endearing it can be to someone. And I thought overall the poem was just magnificent. And I thought I could not help but be drawn to every line that began with that word agua. So he did a fantastic job.
Mm. Great. Wonderful comment, Frank. Thank you. And Dexter, you did a great read, and we're ready for our next poem. Katie, I can't hear you.
Oh, number two. Three strikes and I'm out. Oh, the back. You see, you missed it again. I was being erudite, I was being witty, and you've missed it. Ah, what a shame. Okay. I love it.
You have an hour there.
Okay, a Broadway poem, Tomb. And Frank, would you care to read this for us?
Oh, all right. This poem here is called A Broadway Pantom, and it's by Dark Knight of the Soul, and it goes like this. There's nothing like the great escape of Broadway. The half-price ticket booth is billed in a line. Grab a slice of pizza or dine out gourmet. Stare at the Radio City neon sign. The half-price ticket booth is billed in a line. Street vendors sell cheap sunglasses, scarves, and bling. Stare at the Radio City neon sign. All the cops on Times Square want to act or scream. Street vendors sell cheap sunglasses, scarves, and bling. Oh, rent seasons of love brings my eyes to tears. All the cops on Times Square want to act or sing. I'm deep in my emotions as the crowd clears. Seasons of love brings my eyes to tears. Onto Junior's famous cheesecake for a bite. I'm deep in my emotions as the crowd clears. Then walk the bustling crowds on an autumn night. On to June, famous cheesecake for a bite. Grab a slice of pizza and walk on an old night. There's nothing like the great escape of Broadway. In the poem.
You did a fabulous read of Doug's poem. I just really enjoyed this so very much. So let's get some comments. What did you think about the poem, Dexter?
Yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic piece. you know, talking about Broadway. There's something about it. There's something that's really drawing about it. But there's something that's kind of grimy. There's something that's kind of dark. There's something that's kind of almost dangerous about it. You know, all the cats that are there, and you know, there's this cheesecake for a bite, and everybody's bustling about, and everybody's getting a piece of this, and you got to try that. You should do this, and you should. You know, there's an energy about it, and I thought that he brought that to this poem, that there's a certain energy that it takes on itself, the street itself takes on. And I thought that his poem brought that out.
Great. Excellent comment, Dexter. Yeah, I really like how, you know, the excitement that you feel when you visit a place for the first time. You know, and I like it when you can take me in there and I can feel as I'm walking with you and smell and see and hear the sights. You know, street vendors sell cheap sunglasses, scarves, and bling, while rent seasons of love brings my eyes to tears. All the cops on Times Square want to act or sing. I'm deep in emotions as the crowd clears. You know, and he says that he thought it was, you know, just fantastic, and he had a great time, but he said that he did get kind of upset because he said that he saw a big fight. So, you know, that's just part of the big city. And what did you think about the poem, Katie?
Well, it certainly makes me want to visit this place. It looks absolutely wonderful. And there's the yellow cabs. Ah, so cute. Wouldn't you love to see them in real life? I thought this was beautiful. And as you say, he took us along with him, and we saw what he saw, and it was all that you'd expect a big, bustling city like that to be. I love the street vendors sell cheap sunglasses, scarves, and bling. Who doesn't like a little bit of bling? Yep, I thought it was wonderful, and I did it. And also, now I'm hungry. Onto Junior's famous cheesecake for a bite and then a slice of pizza. Might be the wrong way around, but it sounds wonderful. I do love cheesecake. Yeah, so I thought your journey was absolutely wonderful, Dark Night of the Soul, and thank you for taking us along with you.
Okay. Excellent poem. Congratulations on your front page. Well-deserved front page pick, and we're ready for our next one. Oh, you know what, Katie? Why don't we start open poetry since we're 3 minutes till? Because we got tons of open poetry. It's going to be exciting.
That's it up already. Children by Ole Lunin. And there's a SoundCloud for this, Gray, if you could get that, please.
Children. You arrived to me clad in armor. You arrived clad in the art of self-harm, adorned in the gown of night, fed only by daylight, plagued by hysteria, raised ostensibly for the roster of a monster movie for monsters meant to distort the comfort of our forlorn reality. Two words were enough to send you on your way, or to let you stay. Two words. Two chords struck together that constitute consonance or dissonance. I resonate with whatever. That's why two words would never be enough for you. The true you, the euphoric youth using lewd looks to sheath the wheezing of your inner wizened sage, lost in the age of teenagers. Teenage monsters, he said. Teenage mutant monsters. Teenage petulant, pestilent, penitent passengers crowding the multitudes of trains circulating our crania through the sheathed sockets we call eyes. We laughed. We both sheathed each other by cheating and believing the world arrival only to be beaten in a heated debate. Stay for many a night, I said. Stay, and we would surely rouse this rude ruse that people seem to muse over too much to take care of their weary lives. Stay, and I will stop pretending, chaining, smoking, smoke chaining, and chain smoking over the smoldering waste, spits and falls, and all their antipodes intruding and protruding from that bodily armor of yours. For I am lost in a host of thoughts, and most of my options were wrong until you came along, that is. The world, unexplored and lonely, started to make sense, and my sad existence stopped craving for answers. I'm not the one to mince words, you know. I said it once. I pronounced you my utmost dance partner in the crime of living in this rancid reality. Really, you had one answer to give, one option to pop into that mouth of yours, but somehow you managed to dodge all that self-placed responsibility. You sat there, 5 minutes to be bribed by profane promises, yet you chose honestly. You monster! Yes, that's what I said, and added some more for good measure. It's only the looks that made it into my heart. Sorry for speaking so plainly. It would only go further downhill into the profane from now on. You arrived without asking, a task in my calendar, a joke in a room of unjolly, unholy jobbers, a poke at the dim screen of daylight that reveals the true night, the one final night, the one that bites your head off at sunrise. Please rise for the jury. You claim self-defense. I claim self-harm. I claim self-defense. You laugh, because apparently words are meaningless. The jury, the jurors, the judicators, the auroras rising above the pitch-black night sky of reality, they all were just made believe. You clad the world in armor while feasting on daylight, and that single kiss filled me with hysteria. I was a monster in a mirror. You were a monster in a movie. So would people say. And those people knew us, knew you, knew me. Never knew how life works, though. I don't blame them. I don't know anything about that either. I know that the profane, the bottoms where one would fall from a hilltop. You knew about those too, I bet. Intimately. You were into me at some point, I think, though we couldn't stand that much innuendo. You were too wise, a sage, a broken oak on a child's painting. Yet when you flicked that wrist and that finger and that ring, that one ring, slipped into the night, that's when my uptight existence knocked on my door again. You just had to open your big mouth.
What a fantastic poem by Ole in recording. Ah, I love his accent. Oh, my goodness. What did you think of Ole's poem, Gray?
I thought it was epic. I mean, you know, he really... really marches through this plethora of cliches, and you know, his alliteration in spots is excellent. You know, it was a really, really, really well-read poem as well. So I enjoyed his accent too. Fabulous job! Thank you for sharing all that.
Thank you, Gray. And Francisco, what did you think?
Yes, I thought it was a fantastic phone call as well. I really like the whole message here, the stream of consciousness, and I was reading some of his remarks there and how he says he doesn't know how to situate his poetry. This is a reminder of a poet, actually not a poet, a writer who is called Kafka. I'm not sure if you know who he is, but he really just gave me the vibes of Kafka of this poem here. And I really did like the sincerity reflected, and importantly, the message that he's trying to convey, and it's very powerful indeed.
Agreed. Excellent, excellent comment. And I would love to know what you think, Dexter.
See, this is somebody taking us through, you know, their explanation of both of themselves as children in almost in an immature relationship. Neither one of them were at the time ready for themselves or each other, you know. And so there's different parts where you talk about, you know, they put up that bodily armor of yours. But at the same time, there's my sad existence stopped craving for your answers. So there is some proving of being wrong, right? Because my sad existence is craving for your answers. There's like there's some admission of being wrong with being part of it, with being part of this childish almost journey of this really immature relationship that's happening. So very well done and very powerfully written.
An excellent, excellent comment. Okay. We have a new caller. Caller 662. Am I speaking with?
This is Infinite Destruction, ID.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hello, Infinite Destruction. Welcome.
And we're going to go to our next recording. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, next one up is Poetry and Grasshoppers by S. Sharp. And this is a SoundCloud. Gray, I wonder if you would do me the honor, please.
Poetry and Grasshoppers. An open poetry book lies in the Kentucky bluegrass. Mild breezes begin to blow. The grass stands taller, wavering. Leaves dance, spinning and swirling. Colors jump from every direction. Yellows and browns, greens and reds bob up and down like kids riding their bikes. Couples walking the asphalt paths stop and kiss. Black birds soar from the telephone wires, dive and glide, landing in the uncut grass, jumping, chirping, chattering. Butterflies flutter, float on the escalating winds. A grasshopper jumps, lands on the open page as a powerful gust comes up, slamming the book closed. I guess poetry isn't for grasshoppers.
I've got to say, that's one of my favorite poems that Scott has written. I loved his imagery from the first line all the way to the ending line. You know, I love crickets. I find them fascinating. I used to catch them and watch them, you know, with their legs and try to figure out how they were making that fiddle play, kind of like Jiminy Cricket. I don't know, maybe that's why I like crickets so much. You know, and then he just talks about the scenery that is, you know, all around him. You know, butterflies flutter, float on the escalating winds. A grasshopper jumps, lands on the open page as a powerful gust comes up, slamming the book closed. I guess poetry isn't for grasshoppers. You know, you just can't help but smile and enjoy this poem. It was just fabulous. What did you think about this poem, Infinite?
Yeah, so, sorry, I'm trying to get back to it. I moved off of it, but I can find it. I know you had that in your list. Sorry. Okay, so I find it very whimsical and, you know, it's a little bit of comedy there at the end. And it's kind of one of those things like, oh, you want to write some poetry too, little buddy? And then, yeah, it doesn't quite end too well. But I do have to say that the imagery, as you said before, was very well written. I love the uses of the colors and, you know, then thinking of those colors dancing, you know, as leaves in the wind. I don't know. I really liked it. It was a great, great piece for sure. I enjoyed it. And, it was a great read as well.
Thank you, Infinite. Excellent comment, and welcome to the show. It's great to hear your voice. And you know, the first time I heard it was in your recording, but it's great to have you call in. And Miss Katie, I would love to know what you thought of Sharp's poem, fantastic poem.
That is the word for it, definitely. Fantastic. Although, why he had to kill off the poor grasshopper, I don't know. I may have a word with him about that. But you can just imagine it, though, can't you? It would just be so exactly what might happen. A grasshopper goes on the page and then the page slams shut. But that last line is absolutely wonderful. It's the kind of line you wish you'd thought of yourself. I guess poetry isn't for grasshoppers, for sure. Oh, my goodness me. I thought it was lovely. I thought the whole thing was just so inventive and so colourful, as already been said, I know, but that's it. And lyrical, and it's moving. It just keeps moving, as that kind of weather would be doing with all the wind blowing things around. Lovely. Thank you so much for sharing that, and your SoundCloud was great, so thank you.
It was fabulous. And we're ready for our next SoundCloud?
And our next one is, Illusions of Time. Now, I did note that Frank said that this might not be, how did you put it? This might not be
enchanting.
Anyway, that's the word. That's the very word. Oh, so we all make up our mind now.
Well, I thought of you tonight, Weaver.
Oh, okay. That's lovely. Thank you. And we have a SoundCloud. Sorry, Gray. We have a SoundCloud for this, Illusions of Time.
Yeah, you might want to turn it up just a bit, because it's a bit low.
Oh, my. Okay.
Particle of a myriad of a thoughts on my brain manifest within the fleeting passages of the flowing ripples of endless time, forming into the crystal cubes of my drear and forsaken isolation, a prisoner of the metallic twirling circle of solid and oval despair. I plunge deeper into the abyss of a piercing madness engraved, as the haunting hands of the mechanical clock tick, talk, a such a sonorous sound clanging in my little head then, and I hear the noise drowning me in the mosaic pit of eternal echo. I am trapped inside the sloping crenellated outer walls of my pain, complete with the copper eyelids of the broad barriers to my escape. I can see the surreal images of the dead floating into a timeless space, as I observe the visible faces of the souls of the daunting past. Soon my silent screams burst through the frame of the clock, shattering the old glass and the curved edges of the dented prison like a full force of a sonic bang of such an exploding deafness, tumbling the cracked walls of my subconscious realm. Bubbles of my liquid breath become vapors of marbles, shouting to the outside world the clamor of my liberation. I am free at last. Free at last. But the world outside is nothing more than the hollow and hoary demons worse than mine. When shall I be rid of my demons? Why am I trapped in the illusions of time? What if time was nothing more than a mere illusion itself? Could it be thus that I am dreaming? Am I part of a revolving matrix? Whatever my fate be to my existence, I shall either be a memory or a life form. Yes, yes, I am life. I am life.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, but I'm loose somewhere there.
I'm commenting to the mic. Your voice is mesmerizing. Your imagery is mesmerizing. You just pull the reader in and, you know, to the psychological horrors that this person is experiencing. And I collect clocks. So just when I heard you start reading that, I said, no, because I don't want to, you know, when my clocks are ticking to hear your voice, it's a background. Oh, my God. I plunged deeper into the abyss of a piercing madness engraved as the haunting hands of the mechanical clock tick-tock. Oh, that is so good!
my goodness, Frank. Oh, Gray, what did you think of Frank's poem?
Well, I didn't scare you.
Man, you really nailed it. You really nailed it, you know, with your presentation. You know, you really have a great stage presence. Your performance was spot on. You really bring your words to life with your voice. And I thought it was an excellently crafted poem. When shall I be rid of my demons? Why am I trapped in the illusions of time? What if time was running? What is nothing more than mere illusion itself? Could it thus be that I am dreaming? Or am I part of the revolving matrix? Whatever my fate be to my existence, I shall either be a memory or a life form. Yes, I am life. No, that was great. Great job.
Well, I appreciate that. If I can say one quick thing here, I actually read this poem on stage to a bunch of fifth, sixth graders in the school.
Oh,
it was
wow.
One of some of the poems that I was able to read, and when they saw me at first, they thought I was such a quiet man until they heard me read and open my mouth.
What did they do when you laughed?
So they were completely in awe. They didn't expect me to do that. They didn't expect me to change my voice as well. But I've said before, I have different ranges in voices as an actor.
Well, it was fantastic. And, you know, thank you for going out there and inspiring children for the arts. And
yeah,
Dexter, what did you think? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, this was a great poem about, you know, I took it a lot as aging. You know, when you're talking about the fleeting path, mm-hmm. when you're talking about the fleeting passages and just the ripples of endless time, right? We have these, it feels like when we're younger, we're in this endless time. And then as we age, it seems like we know exactly what time it is and exactly how old we are. And all of a sudden the clock starts to become so much more important to us as we age, right? Like you almost have a new found appreciation for every second, for every minute, you know, as you start to age. And I just feel like this is also a part of it, right? Is it starts to become almost haunting. And if you, when I shall I rid myself of my demons, right, that can mean that, like, when you can finally make the best time of with yourself, right, like almost when it's not depression, when I can also get rid of myself of my demons and I can finally relax in this time that I have with myself. And so, I don't know, I just thought that this was a poem about almost aging, and I thought it was very well done.
No, I appreciate it. It's a psychological type of poem indeed.
Mm-hmm. And you did it very well. Thank you, Frank. And we're ready for our next SoundCloud. Ooh.
And our next one is Faceless Devil by Infinite Destruction. And as you say, there is the SoundCloud.
Faceless Devil. Drunken. I wobbled into the cobble. 'Twas lantern lit, sullen. My body battled the bourbon rattle with lesser wit, succumbing to the unknowing, such horror harrowing me to the state, to sleuth this demon in a gentle suit, bared no fruit. I dared to quit. Each mutilation, evisceration, such ghastly scenes, my eyes filled now with desecration. What was I seeking? Not man, but monster. My thoughts, a superstitious conversation. A witness said they had saw it, but even then, 'twas but a rumor. Jack, make a mistake for goodness sake, I exclaim aloud outside this police station. They all were ladies, though whoring they did before their goring. Their throats nigh severed, their organs levered unto their shoulders, left there for storing. But what of Madame Tabram? Was she the first to quench thy thirst, to do the will of Satan? Is it coincidence that each incident happened in the witching hours before morning? I know Whitechapel is no apple of the eye, 'tis for sure. But thy inhumanity is a driving insanity. Not I nor they must endure. Now, Jack, what makes thee tick to do the sick deeds that makes even the headsman turn his back? 'Twas it a whore that tore the inside out that makes ye want to see their blood a-pouring? Fraught with peril my people hath become on a daunting level. This burden to find thee hath left me unsettled, disheveled. But I, Frederick Aberline, fear my rage will unfold untold, and I'll cross that line to take justice of mine own, should e'er I come face to face with thee, you faceless devil.
Oh my gosh. Oh, the poetry tonight is just awesome. Okay, let's get some comments. Francisco, what did you think of his poem?
Well, as a fellow actor myself, I have to say, it was a stunning performance, my friend. This really took me back to, of course, Jack the Ripper in the late 1880s, and brought me to the character of the chief of the detective who was, I'm assuming was doing that case, investigate. But the poem overall just captured the essence of Jack the Ripper. He did a fantastic job of giving us every tiny little minute detail to what the whole notion there of that time period was captured very well. I thought he did a fantastic job overall.
Agreed. He did. And I would like to know what you thought, Miss Katie.
Oh, fabulous. SoundCloud. I really enjoyed it. It was very atmospheric. And I do love the sort of Victorian way of talking. We should all be thee-ing and thou-ing and all those wonderful words. Take thee to a nunnery. Oh, okay, where did that come from? That is just beautiful. It took you along, and we all know the story, so you know, that was beautifully put as well. So you really could see what was going on. I thought it was great, and I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Miss Katie. You know, what I enjoyed about this is, you know, Jack the Ripper, you know, I liked how you got into his thoughts and his psychology. You know, I can imagine at times what serial killers, there is something about them that drives them to commit these horrendous murders. But at the same time, on another level, when their conscience speaks to them, you know, I thought that you caught that, and you could hear the change in your voice, which made me see his dual personality, his two-face in this. And I just, you know, the imagery in here is just, you know, is enough to make people shudder, especially when you realize, you know, and if you looked at the pictures and the things that he did, the horrific carving of these women. And, you know, I was just, you know, I was reading, did some study on him, and they said that he stopped committing these murders in London because they believed that he came to the United States. And to me, that's just absolutely horrifying, you know, that these serial killers, you know, it takes a while for them to get caught, especially if they're good at what they're doing, if they're careful with their maddening footsteps and the way that they murder. And you did this. This is just fabulous, Infinite Destruction. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. It was great to hear your voice. And we're ready for our... D.W. London said that this was super powerful, great performance. And we're ready for our next one, Miss Katie.
Right. We have up 10-Year-Old in Love by Miriam Kilmer. Now, this is quite long, so I will read this one to give your throat a chance. I know it gets a bit sore. Okay, here we go. 10-Year-Old in Love. His name was Chuck. He wore a waggish grin and held his arms a trifle bent. the new boy, he was gentle, nice but shy. I can't say that I heard grey catbirds when he came, and violets appeared no bluer at his step, but there was something special, secret, unforeseen, between that boy and me. Chuck was one of seven boys or so. In fifth grade class, we girls were only two. Becky was my playmate, mirror, other self, surprise and comfort all in one, a daisy blooming from a pavement crack. But one day Becky didn't come to school. Her absence was a blank, an ache, a void. At recess, I was just so sad, so bored. I saw a stick about 2 meters long, bent, forked and rotten. It could do no harm. There was Chuck. I chased him with that stick. He ran, he laughed. He knew it was in fun. The other children jeered, a friendly sound. They knew the gist of my pursuit. My secret was revealed in playground tag. My face was wreathed in heat. This episode a tasty treat. And for just that moment, I had a boyfriend. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. That was a wonderful poem by Miriam, and you did such a beautiful read on it. And I'd like to get some comments. Greg, what did you think of Miriam's poem?
Well, it kind of took me back to pulling, my first girlfriend's hair, because I think that's how we got, boyfriend and girlfriend in grade one, was I pulled her hair in the schoolyard, and, she got mad and hit me and all that, so... that's what it reminded me of, my first experience of being in love as a child. So thank you for sharing, Miriam. A great read.
Thank you, Greg. And I'd like to know what you thought about the poem, Francisco.
Well, Greg just took my lines there because it made me think of my first crush as well. This was just a... you think about when you're young, you really don't think about the complexity of love or even a crush, but you do know that they exist, love exists, and you don't know how to describe it, but you feel something for that person. And I thought she did a fantastic job of just encompassing those elements from the time period. I thought it was a fantastic poem overall.
Thank you, a wonderful comment. And how about you, Dexter? What did you think of Miriam's poem?
Yeah, there's such a beauty in the innocence of the entire thing, right? Like, love is just play, right? And so when you think about that, when you think about, like, almost the true essence maybe of love, right, is just in play and enjoying that moment with that person. And so there's something really simple and really broken down about this piece that kind of makes you like go back and really rethink of what it really means to love somebody, and it is very powerful in the way that it's written.
Thank you, Dexter. Excellent comment. And we're ready for our next SoundCloud, Miss Katie.
Oh, now I'm getting somebody throwing a ball around. Lovely sounds we're getting tonight. Woo! Right. We have I Walk Alone, song lyrics by Budhu, and this is a SoundCloud.
Great.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to find it. I'm sorry. Who was it again?
Budo. Oh, Budo, yeah.
Budo, okay. All right, here we go.
Gathers old memories. torturous void, the anger starts to bleed. Oh no, just let me go. I'm on my way back home.
Thank Buddha for that. You know, his music, it has a way of getting to me because I can emotionally connect with it. And, you know, especially with his words, you know, sometimes we do walk alone, but I liked where he said, do you think I just lay down indiscriminately? Like a cat cornered, I will claw back mortally. Careful what you wish for. If the anger starts to bleed, you know, somebody can just push you to that edge, that where you finally just, I'm going to show you the fire that is laid hidden deep in my soul, you know. And I really enjoyed this. What did you think about the poem, Infinite? Are you still with us? No, Dexter. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was very well done. You know, talking about I walk alone on the wet stone. There is something almost powerful upon that, right? To say that I walk alone. And there's something that there's a lot to despair about that, but there's also something that's powerful about saying that you walk alone. And to there, you know, there, as you might talk about the cat cornered, right? There's something very powerful about a cat, right? Like, they don't give a shit what other people think, and if you corner them, then they're gonna
that's
fight.
True.
And if you corner them, they're gonna fight. And so that was a really interesting metaphor to use into a walk, I walk alone song. So very well done by Voodoo.
Thank you. Excellent comment. And I'd like to know what you thought of his poem, Miss Katie.
Well, I have to say, I think anybody with, yeah, that's that anybody who's got that amount of talent, oh, it must be so wonderful to not only write but sing it. Well, and probably play an instrument. But I thought that the thought behind it, the emotion behind it, was just, it just came through so well. And I liked that a lot. Do you think I just lay down indiscriminately? Ah, yes. Great song. I'm going to go and see if I can find some more of his songs. Because I love his voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's so earthy and you know, that sort of rough, tough kind of voice, which is so good for this mm-hmm. kind of song. Well done.
Yeah.
Disabilities. I
yeah,
love it. Thank you.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Tom Petty. You know, just I just really enjoy it. And I always like how he can just make you feel. I mean, sometimes I burst out in tears when I heard him sing. Oh, thank you. Ludo, and we're ready for our next fabulous SoundCloud.
And next we have Slave to the Moon by our very own Zach. Oh, how wonderful. And that's a SoundCloud. Really, if you would mind getting it for us, please. I don't know what I'm saying.
The night stares down a somber vigil, beholding a birth accursed by darkness, watched by eyes that peer from shadows, awaiting the wretched wail of the wolf. The sound of boards splintering breaks the air, a hooked-shaped hand scoops chunks of earth. Pale moonlight illuminates a killing glow, long coarse nails pitted with coffin splinters. Rising limbs curl fingers in a bloody grip, dribbling down his writhing wrist, seen by all. Dozens of denizens watch from both sides, his arm pausing while scarlet drips down the marble flesh of his ashen wrists. A sullen smile drifts across undead lips as a solitary vampire bears witness the ascent. Standing alone, he stealthily creeps nearer to deep into the eyes of a forlorn beast. His darkness cannot cease to exist, breathing from his dove-white face, rising from the coffin, glorying in dirt. His entire body begins to transform. Clouds cradle the moon above him, bringing him crashing down on all fours, stomach scraping against the soil, sprouting clumps and tufts of fur. The vampire sees the sufferance endured, remembering well his own becoming. A spark of empathy courses his veins, knowing full well this is just the beginning. Crawling in the graveyard earth, letting loose a sickening howl, hackles rise and fangs descend, painful screams growl distorted words. Amid retching breaths and canine coughs, the wolf pack members suddenly pounced, firmly securing their newborn mongrel, enslaving him with ball and chain. The elder vampires laughed aloud. Be seeing you soon at Castle Kane.
Oh my gosh. I mean, tonight, that was so damn good. DW London did the recording, and I am just like totally amazed with it. I want to congratulate. I heard that they have a series, so hopefully I'll talk to Zach to see if we can get the series going, because I would love to have this on my show, because I love vampires and I love wolves, because, yeah, I do transform during the full moon. This is good. Okay, got to get some comments. Great.
Yeah, you know, there's so much damn talent in this group. It's just phenomenal. You know, y'all that do these dark performances are just outstanding. You know, kudos to you all, and congratulations on a fantastic collab. And Dan, excellent work on your recording. So fantastic job, everybody.
Thank you, Gray. And I would love to know what you thought about this poem, Francisco.
Well, first of all, that was wonderful, wonderful SoundCloud there. The collab itself, I didn't realize that until I saw it here, and it was collab for Kana. This has this wonderful conglomeration of darkness. And like you, I gravitate to vampires, into werewolves, and maybe it's the dark world. And I thought it was a fantastic rendition there of giving us word to word just a whole notion there of what life is, and just the darkness just pervading throughout the whole poem. Very excellent.
Excellent comment. Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, this was a fantastic piece. Haunting and really through the description of it. It just takes you through this this blood-curdling transformation that happens. And I just think that they worded this perfectly and they shaped this perfectly. And it was, there was not like an extra sentence or there wasn't an extra word. I mean, it was just really clean, which made it seem even more, you know, dastardly, it seemed like, because it was just right, precise, and to the point. So very well done.
Excellent comment. Miss Katie, I would like to know what you think.
I thought it was wonderful. I love the dark arts. I love the dark stories. I love the idea of there being a machine, a killing machine out there with fangs. Doing scarlet drips and down. Very good. The story itself, fabulous. And so detailed and so cleverly written, but also the voice was perfect for it. So,
mm-hmm.
And it always enhances anybody's work when the reading of it is just as good as the writing of it. So both of you, wonderful jobs, really, really enjoyable and so creepy. I'm looking forward to hearing and seeing more. Well done. Thank you.
I wrote them and told them that, what a delicious dark enchantment. D.W. London's recording brings to life the amazing collection of my favorite poets, Harmo Neurotica and Arcana Amor. And, you know, I did tell them, I hope that you continue to write. I said, the darkness covers the reader in a satin cloak of moonlight and awakenings. I found my inner veins howling. The night stirs down a somber vigil, beholding a birth, a curse of darkness. Watched by eyes that peer from shadows, awaiting the wretched well of the wolf. You know, I said this with rich details. I said it enhanced the eyes, fire of the agony and pleasuring of turning, remembering the changing lips of the eternal savory bite, where they wrote a sullen smile drifts across the red lips as a solitary vampire bears witness the ascent. Standing alone, he stealthily creeps nearer to look deep into the eyes of a forlorn beast. I said, you know, and then I told him that the audio erupts with the visions of the aching night. Bravo. Bravo. This was just a fantastic night of audios. Okay. We are back to you, Miss Katie.
Well, talking of audios, this is the last one I think we have, so I'll play this one. It's Underneath Blankets by Janeski. And Gray, if you could find that SoundCloud, it'd be wonderful.
To look underneath layers of skin, seated monsters sleeping in shadows, and the hidden beast hides under innocence thrown into cages. It feeds on digital braille and lost the tiniest kernel under blankets.
What a fantastic brevity by Chinowski. Congratulations on your front page pick. And I would love to know, let's see, looking at my list. I'm starting again. Frank, I'd like to know what you think.
Did you ask me or Gray?
Yes, Frank.
Okay. No, that's okay. You could call me Frank.
I like Francisco.
Okay. Well, I thought the poem overall, although it's brief, really had some powerful, powerful messages throughout the poem here. You know, to look underneath layers of skin, seated monsters. There's just that guilty feeling that you see throughout the poem, but it really makes you reflect on what is as well. You know, not, you know, look before, you know, before you see something or you, you know, you perceive something, make sure you know what you're perceiving there. So I thought overall it was a wonderful illustration of that philosophy, I would say, or that thought.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It's hard to say. It's a great poem as well.
Yeah, that's a fantastic brevity. Dexter, what did you think of Chinovsky's poem, Cal's poem?
I thought it had something to do with it, like about, you know, talking about having something that is very uncomfortable for you to get at, right? Something that you can't quite face. When you have something that's like a kernel or like something like something that's under your blankets, right, that's like at your thigh or whatever that it is, and it's something that's uncomfortable that you're laying on that you're trying to find. I feel like if this is talking about something that's underneath your skin, right, this is something that's like deeply layered that maybe you're just uncomfortable to talk about. So I thought it was well done.
Yeah. I was looking at his comments. He was talking to Leela, and he told her that hate is overwhelming right now, and the only way to remedy the hate is a deep introspection to truly understand humanity and how fragile and diverse we are. The deep embedded mindset is and conditioning that's so hard to overcome. And then he also says that this message can't be overstated. The introspection needs to be looked at on all sides of war. Nobody wins. We all lose. So I want to congratulate him on his front page poem. Excellent comment, everybody, and read. And I enjoyed his recording. Do we have any poems left?
Yes, we've got a couple of poems left. We've got time
okay,
for one more. And this is Autumn's Act, Not Liked by All. And I don't know who's read last. I'm so sorry. Dexter, yeah. Dexter, would you like to read this one, please? Has he dropped?
Dex, are you still with us?
Yes. So hold on.
Yes.
Autumn's an act not liked by all. September bows at curtain call. Melancholy fauna all sneer. Autumn's an act not liked by all. A murder of crows. Brave by squall, brave a squall, brave's a squall. Solemn barn owl sheds a tear. September bows a curtain call. And that November has its gall, snatching away the reins to steer. Autumn's an act not liked by all. It's enough to make a willow's ball. Standing detective and auditeer. September bows at curtain's call. The sparrows and chickadees brawl over a found and prized corn ear. Autumn's an act not liked by all. House smokestacks create a thin pail. Everything shifts in low gear. September bows at curtain call. Young buck's deer leaves their angst-filled scrawl on the birch trees this time of year. September bows at curtain call. Autumn's an act not liked by all. And poem.
You did a fabulous read of M.J. Donnelly's poem. I really love his in-depth descriptions of autumn. You know, for example, I love when people incorporate nature and what they see in there. The sparrows and chickadees brawl over a fond and prized corn ear. Autumn's an act not liked by all. His rhyme is fantastic all the way through, and I really enjoyed this, and I enjoyed listening to you read, Dexter. And our next poet to comment is Miss Katie.
Yes, this was beautiful. You know me and nature, I love it. It's just anything to do with nature, and I like the fact that this is about that, you know, this is a particular season that most, you know, fauna wouldn't like, because this is the squirrel has to go and hide his nuts, the hibernation. The hibernating hibernators have to hibernate, but they have to eat an awful lot beforehand so they don't come out too thin at the end of it all. So, yes, I thought it was brilliant. I hadn't thought of it like that, that it's not a particular month that every animal would enjoy because there's not much about and not much to eat and it's getting colder. So, yes, very well done, and I really enjoyed your take on this.
Excellent comment. And Gray, your next comment.
Yeah, you know, I like it. You know, it looks at the darker side of autumn and the things that happen with the animals and nature. You know, a murder of crows braids a squall, a solemn barn owl sheds a tear, September bows at a certain call, and that November has its gall, snatching away the reins to steer. Autumn's an act disliked by all. You know, I really enjoy it, you know, the darker side of autumn. I mean, you know, when I think of autumn, I think of all the leaves changing color, and, you know, but there's a beauty in that, but, you know, there's a darkness in this that, you know, like the sparrows and chickadees brawl over the fowl, corn to the ear, autumn's an act, not like, well, fascinating take on autumn.
Great. Thank you, Grant. And Miss Katie, I know you have a front page pick. I would love to hear you read.
Oh, I wasn't going to, but I was happy.
I know.
To.
That's why. No, I put you on the spot.
You did, didn't you? You little devil.
Yes, yes I did. Point, and I want to say good night. Good night, Dexter. Thank you
goodnight,
for calling.
Dexter. Okay, here we have Prison and Palace. I'm going to bring the whole mood down now. Oh, sorry, folks. Okay. Prison and palace. My comfortable home is both my prison and my palace. I cannot leave it. My legs won't carry me as pain bites deep. My mind is what torments me in the hours of darkness when others slumber, showing me happier days of yore. My only love has flown from me. My miasma of need engulfed, stifled, destroyed all passion as creeping atrophy claims me. He is not to blame for this tragedy. It was kindness that made him stay far longer than he should. I sit in solitude as I weep over futile hopes. Poem. Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
You know, you did not bring the mood down. This was just beautifully read, as it was sadly beautifully penned, Weaver. And I wanted congratulations. It's always exciting when you get a front page pick. I'm going to ask Frank to comment first.
Yes. First of all, I have to be there. Congratulations there on the front pick. You know, this is a very touching poem, Weaver. It's a actually Katie. I prefer Katie than Weaver. It's a very touching poem. And it really talks about, you know, the inner self, which we struggle at times to accept or to reveal. And I think that you really bring us some very pointed lines there. You say, you begin two stanzas here, my mind torments me, my only love has flown from me. It's a very personal poem, and it really touches the sentiment of the heart, touches the sentiments of experiences in general, and you say, I sit in solitude as I weep over futile hopes. That's a very beautiful, beautiful line. So though it's dark in nature, the poem was very beautiful.
Oh, thank you. So kind.
I agree.
Are you welcome there?
You know, what I love about this is that, you know, I can understand this. You know, to be a prisoner in your own home, even if it's a palace and it's beautiful, the thing is that if you're a free soul, it feels as if your wings have been clipped. And, you know, it just, you know, you miss the things you used to do, the things you can no longer do. And, you know, if you haven't suffered from any type of debilitating pain, you don't know what it's like to go day to day suffering. And, you know, and to put a smile on your face when you just, you know, want to crawl under a rock. And, you know, especially if you feel as if you've lost somebody, you know, the love of your life. It, you know, sometimes I think the mental anguish
is worse than the physical anguish. And, you know, we always look at our life and I should have, I shouldn't have. You know, we tend to torture ourselves with what we think we should have done. You know, not, you know, and when I really think about it, it's not always what we dream of and what we would like to have, you know, trying to get somebody to stay with you, you know, because I have found that if they're unable to stay, then they're not worthy for me of my love. And I'm not saying he wasn't worthy of your love, but to me, as the person that you are, you're very loving, and for that person not to stay, to have a gift that you're always there through everything, is their loss. This is beautiful as it is sad and is painful and something I can understand. Love you, girlfriend.
Thank you. See, I didn't want to make people sad. I'm so sorry.
No.
No,
it's okay.
You did.
Good.
Right?
You made us more.
I'd like to know.
I would say you made us more loving.
Thank you.
Exactly. Gray, what did you think?
You know, it's heart-wrenching, you know, the torment that she's suffered, you know. A heart-wrenching right on the subject of being a prisoner in one's own body. Such a sad tale. Although you shine brilliantly through your poetry and personality.
Oh, thank
great
you.
Great read, too.
Thank you, my
dear.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So kind.
Okay.
Yep, you're a star.
And we only have 2 minutes left, so I do not want to put another poem up and not give the poet due credit on the front page text. And a
I
lot
agree.
Of these poems got medals, so congratulations to everybody on the front page picks and their medals. And I want to thank everybody for our amazing second hour of open poetry, which was spectacular. And I love you, Katie, and Gray, and Gwen, and Francisco, and Dexter, and Infinite. And I want to thank Zach and DW London for staying in the group, and Miriam, and Robbie, and Rexy for dropping in. I love you guys. Have a happy Valentine. Kisses to everybody.
Besitos
for los Latinos.
Oh,
love you guys.
Good
what
night, people.
Take care, everyone.
Good
what
night, everybody.
Good night, Kate. Good night,
love
you
guys. Good night.
Good night,
and stay warm.
Good night, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Love you, Miss Katie.
Great job tonight, everyone. Everyone did a great
thank
job tonight.
You.
Good night, everyone.
Yay.
Thank
much
you.
Love,
thank
everybody.
You, everybody. It was fun. Bye-bye.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yes,
it was.
Such a lovely night.
Take care.
Morning.
Take care,
please. Take care, be your God go with you.
There you go.
Yeah, the wind always be at your back. Good night, all.
Yes, that's true.
Good night, all. Love you guys. Good night.
Okay, take care.
Mm-hmm.